welcome to another segment of our Health Heroes series where we're spotlighting the thought leaders who have made really significant lifetime contributions to the health and wellness space. This is your host. I'm Rick Lugash. And today's call is a little bit different. Today's call is about accessing your energy connection to support health and healing. And so, you know, when we hear the word shaman, what comes to mind is someone who's typically lost in the world of illusions, or someone who maybe look self-crazed with eyes that are kind of glossy with this unending stare. And today's health hero is going to totally break that old image. My guest today has been called a gifted healer, a fearless guide whose work is considered state-of-the-art, an inspiration to those with sleepy souls, and someone who is going to give us a very reality-based approach to a discipline that is sometimes considered mystical, and we're going to actually talk about that today. My guest today is Mark Nasek, and before I share with you a little bit about his background, Mark, can you give all of everybody on the call a quick hello?
Hey, hello. So glad to be with you, Rick. Today in this interview, I'm so honored to be part of this, and I'm excited to share with you and all of our listeners today.
And I can already feel that just, you know, energy that's coming from you right now, and I appreciate the grounding that we did before the call, and I'm really in a great space to do this. I'm very excited about this. So let me share with you a little bit about your background. Mark Nasek, also known as Namastaman, is an internationally known teacher, a healer, a shaman, a yogi, a mystic, Reiki master, Sufi, and holistic health and business consultant. Well known for facilitating life-changing experiences, Mark has been featured on television and radio, both nationally and internationally, and while pursuing his global quest for health, vitality, longevity, and spiritual enlightenment, Mark has studied with many masters of the world's traditions and religions. He has presented at the world's top resorts, spas, institutes, and centers, including Canyon Ranch Health Resort, Miraval Life and Balance Resort, Kripalu Center, and I hope I got that right, Mark, you'll correct me if I didn't, Kripalu Center for Yoga Kripalu. And Health, the Omega, Kripalu, thank you, Kripalu Center for Yoga and Health, the Omega Institute, Tree of Life Rejuvenation Center, the Ann Wigmore Institute and Foundation, Ascent of Safed, as well as aboard the world's most famous ocean liner, Cunard's Queen Mary II. And most recently, Mark has been studying Kabbalah in the Holy Land's mystical city of Safed, where Kabbalah has very deep roots. He's offering holistic health consulting, spiritual counseling, and executive business coaching. Mark's clientele includes regular folks just like us, CEOs, doctors, attorneys, heads of state, Hollywood folk, entrepreneurs, and well-known spiritual masters, leaders, and teachers. Mark, it is such a blessing to have you with us today. So thank you and welcome to Health Heroes.
Thank you so much, Rick. Again, thank you. The work that you're doing and getting this message out to people about health and wellness puts a big smile on my face.
Well, thank you, and I know that you and I have done a couple of calls before we did this interview, and after each call, I was just more inspired with just how much is available for folks that are listening on this call today. So, and I know that your journey starts with you know, your own history. So, it's always a good place to start. So, tell us, you know, what sparked your journey into the world of holistic health and wellness? Take us a little bit into your background.
Okay. So many years ago, I was a real estate broker and a mortgage banker on the East Coast near Boston and in New Hampshire. And at that time, I was working many hours, and that business, it was quite stressful to me at the time. And I started getting a lot of bloody noses. And at one point, the bloody nose lasted for 4 hours. It just wouldn't stop. So I went to the doctors, I went to the hospital, and they said what they would do to treat this is cauterize my nose, which basically means they stick a hot piece of metal up my nose and burn the blood vessel to stop it from bleeding. When I received that, I thought, no, this is not something I have interest in doing. And the reason was they were giving me an answer to solve the symptom, and I was looking for an answer to solve the problem. Why was I getting these bloody noses? And no one even addressed that. So I decided to consult with a friend of my mother's at that time who was into health and nutrition, and she suggested that I eat green leafy vegetables because it has lots of vitamin K. These vegetables would be like kale and chard or wheatgrass. And the vitamin K clots the blood. And I was eating a very poor diet at the time, fast food, Coca-Cola, and just not eating a balanced whole food meal. So I changed my diet, and I went on something called the Candida diet to eliminate all sugars in my body. I stopped eating meat. I stopped eating dairy. I stopped eating fermented foods, anything that would have mold. There's a book called The Yeast Connection by Dr. William Cook. And I followed that basic diet. And within 21 days, the bloody noses stopped. Not only that, I had hay fever. And I remember one summer going up to Montreal to the jazz festival. And my best friend at that time was a box of Kleenex because my nose would not stop running, my eyes would not stop watering, and I was taking a drug called Alarest, which is over-the-counter prescription or over-the-counter hay fever medicine. And all it did was make me drowsy and miserable and unhappy. And it really didn't do anything for my symptoms. So when I just changed my diet and began to eat whole foods, and everything changed. The bloody noses stopped. Yes?
Mark, I was going to ask you if you ever did find out what the root cause was. So sounds like you found the solution, but what was really underneath that, moving to a vitamin K-based diet, cutting out all those other things? What was that about?
Oh, my body was stressed. It was stressed from the pollens that was aggravating my system. And usually people that have allergies and somewhere in their life, there could have been some kind of trauma or emotional challenge or something of that sort, an emotional-based something which creates things like asthma, allergies. In fact, it's my belief that emotional-based challenges are the creators of some diseases like Crohn's and colitis and lupus, which are all autoimmune disease, that on an emotional level, people with these challengers have emotions that are like locked in their body that they haven't expressed out in the world. So they're imploding. And when these things are imploding, it's like there's a war inside of their body with their mind and their emotions. And, everyone knows that when you have a gut feeling or something just doesn't sit right in your belly, you can feel it. And so when deep emotions are stagnant in the body, they really do lots of harm.
And I know that you we're going to talk about the work that you do with unblocking and opening up people's energy, but what does it mean for people to physically, spiritually, and emotionally unblock and open their energy, and how does this apply to somebody's health and wellness for any specific condition?
That's a great question, Rick. So the United States, or any country, has a whole highway system that you can go from city to city on superhighways like in L.A. or New York or more rural roads. But there's roads connecting every city in this country. Now, let's say you're at your house and you have a faucet hooked up to your house outside and you want to water the lawn, so you get your green hose out. You hook it up to your house, and you turn it on. And then you find no water's coming out the end because there's a knot somewhere in the hose. So what's going to happen is that hose is going to get stretched right where the water, where the knot is from the water pressure. So you unravel the knot, and there you have your water flowing out of your body. So now let's say you're in Los Angeles where the 405 and the 101 meet, and you have a meeting to get to, and there's an accident there. Well, in L.A., the traffic could be backed up, and you could be sitting in traffic for an hour. So the movement of the traffic is not happening. And people sitting in the cars often get agitated and stressed out because there's no movement when they have an intention and a desire to have movement and get to where they're going. The same is true in the body, and I'll explain how. In your body, you have a highway of routes and roads. They're called meridians in Chinese medicine. In the yogic or Ayurvedic system, they're called nadis, highways of energy that run from your finger up your arm to your shoulder to your heart, from your heart down through your pelvis to your feet. There are hundreds of them. And if anyone's been to an acupuncturist or a Chinese medicine doctor, you often see a little black doll with black lines all over the body. Those are meridians. And if you look even closer at this doll, you'll see that every place on where there's a black line on this doll, you'll see a point, a dot, on the line. And that line is a subo. So the subo is like the junction of the 405 and the 101 in Los Angeles. It's an interaction where these highways in the body meet. And if there is stagnation of chi, of life force, or prana, prana is from the yogic tradition, chi is from the Chinese medicine philosophy. So the movement of energy of those people that are in the cars, they're in motion, and then they have to stop, not at their will. So the energy in the body also wants to move. And if it gets to a place where there's a blockage in the body, the energy wants to go, but it can't because of the block. It's kind of like the knot in the hose. Mm-hmm. So there can be knots in these meridians in the body, and energy gets stuck, and stagnation happens, and then there can be blockages and the formation of dis-ease, which disease is just dis-ease, where there's not ease. So does that answer your question about the blockage?
Yes. So basically what I'm hearing you say is that the blockage, because this energy really isn't flowing freely, it actually builds up and manifests itself into other things, other physical conditions, like chronic disease, chronic illness, disease.
Exactly.
Yeah. So is this where then is pain and trauma stored in the body, and how does it relate to this kind of highway system that you just beautifully illustrated?
Great. Okay, so to answer that question, I'm going to talk a minute about science and the real world that we live in. We all have played with magnets. We use them on our refrigerator. We hold things on them. Now, if you take a magnet, North Pole to South Pole, two magnets, they attract. If you flip one over, they repel. But what most people don't know about magnets, and I learned this from my junior high school science fair project, is that if you take a magnet and slam it on the ground, the magnet stops when it hits the ground. But the magnetic force may leave the magnet and move through the floor. And when you pick up that magnet, it may not stick to your refrigerator again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same way how a cassette works. If you have a cassette of Madonna and you're tired of listening to Madonna, you want to listen to something else, they sell this box at Spencer Gifts. That's a box that magnets spin around. You put the cassette tape on that box of spinning magnets, and when you take it off, there's no more Madonna on that cassette. And then you can tape something else on it, okay? So everything is electromagnetic. Now, Every cell in your body has three things: an electron, a neutron, and a proton. What's that? An electric circuit. Just like the magnetic tape on a cassette stores information electromagnetically, every cell in your body does the same.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a hard drive, it stores data and information. Just like we can talk to someone over in Israel on the phone, and our voice gets converted to an electrical impulse, then it gets changed into light waves that travel through fiber optic cables under the ocean floor all the way to the other country. And then the other person on the other end, that light is converted into electromagnetic energy, and then you hear a voice.
And what's actually stored in this, in the cells? What's the, what is being held in memory in the cells?
Pain, joy, trauma, emotional pain, physical pain. If you were 6 years old and someone said to you, "You're never going to be successful. You're not worthy of this or this." Or if someone falls off their bike and maybe sprains their ankle or breaks their leg and it heals, but right before the accident, someone yelled at this child, and then they had the accident. So maybe emotionally the accident was connected to them not, like, emotionally hurt, and then they went out and created a physical accident.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So what you're saying, so my original question about where does the pain and the trauma get stored in the body, and now what it sounds like you're saying is that it's actually stored in the memory capability at the cellular level. Is that right?
Right. Right. And it could be anywhere in the body. And let's say we have a 13-year-old girl, and God forbid she gets raped, right? Then we fast forward the film to 30 years, and now she has cancer. She has ovarian cancer, and so they decide, or cervical cancer, and they decide to, the doctors decide to do a full hysterectomy so cancer doesn't spread. She has the hysterectomy, and then cancer comes back. Okay, so in my world, what happened to this person is she was invaded emotionally, physically, spiritually, sexually, on every level. And things happen on an emotional level because of that experience. And that could be the grounds of the formation of cancer getting created in this place. So in my work, I would work with this person on the emotions that happened and release the charge around that. And how does that work? What does that even mean? Let's say me and my dad had a fight. And I'm telling you, Rick, about this fight I had with my dad, and my voice increases, my blood pressure increases, the tone of my voice increases, the speed of my voice happens. I'm still upset. And then I tell you about a fight that I had with my mom. And when I tell you about that fight, my voice is calm, my blood pressure does not increase, the tonality of my speaking has not changed, I'm at peace and I'm calm. The fight with my mom has been healed. The fight with my dad hasn't. You can feel it, there's a, still a reaction when I talk about the fight with my dad. There's still a reaction in my body when I even talk about it or think about it. And with my mom, there's no reaction because it's healed. Everything's good.
Hmm.
So in my personal life, everything really is good with both my parents. I'm just using that for an example.
Yeah, and let me also clarify one thing and see if this conclusion I'm drawing is accurate. So you're talking about the kind of the domain of emotions and psychological well-being. Is it? Could you say the same thing about where this pain or trauma, our cellular stress that's stored in the cell, also comes from the foods we eat, the toxins that we take into our body, or is it just from an emotional component?
It's both. It's both. Listen, in the world that we live in today, if you're living in a major city, you're breathing in heavy metals and toxins. When I ran the Ann Wigmore Institute in Puerto Rico, Ann Wigmore, the founder of that institute, always used to talk about the cause of disease is two things, toxemia and deficiency. Toxemia being we're taking in too many toxins. Our water has chemicals in it, is not pure. Our air that we're breathing is polluted. And we're drinking water and breathing so much. So just from those two things that everyone's doing, there's lots of toxins in them. So if you're drinking pure water, you have a filtration system at your home. If you're living in one of these cities that you have an air filter in your home or your office to pull these things out of the air. If you're eating meat or produce that's grown with herbicides and pesticides, you're basically eating poisons that the agro companies are spraying on them, you know, versus organic foods or foods grown in your own garden that don't have these toxins on them. And then these foods have more minerals because when we spray herbicides and pesticides on the farmland, it's actually killing the soil that from where all these vegetables get their nutrients. So in organic gardening, the earth is full of nutrients and minerals. It hasn't been poisoned, so when the plants are in there, they're getting these minerals and foods. I'll give you an example. When I go to a place that has like an all-you-can-eat salad bar and it's conventional produce, I can eat a huge plate and walk out with my belly full but feeling like I don't have any energy. I didn't get any juice from it. Versus if I go have an organic salad from my friend's house who grows his own stuff without pesticides or herbicides, and I eat that, I can have a smaller salad and feel like I actually got some life force and some energy and I'm satisfied. And I feel a big difference.
And you can tell that right away generally, huh?
Yes, I can. Oh. I've been eating, I only eat organic foods. And I can taste, if someone makes me carrot juice that's commercial carrot juice or organic carrot juice, I can totally taste the difference. The carrot juice that's not organic, the commercial carrots, have more of a bitter taste from the chemicals and also because they don't have the nutrients that's in the soil that hasn't been poisoned with herbicides and pesticides.
Right. So a little while back, you started mentioning some of the healing work that you do that kind of helps people unblock that those energy blocks. So tell us what successes what success in terms of certain healing elements that you've been able to do, that people in your field have been able to do, that traditional Western medicine has been unable to remedy.
Okay. Well, one of those stories I tell, and a free offer we're giving to all of our listeners here in the spring cleaning healing meditation experience that everyone's going to find out about the end, and where I actually take people through one of these experiences and tell a story about that. And for now, I will say that I had a client that I went to go do a healing with her child. And when I got to the house, the child didn't want to do this. So she said, "You're here, why don't you work on me?" So I worked on her. I didn't know her history. I did a healing session with her. And then this was about 15 years ago. And then I was building my first website back in, like, 93. And I thought, okay, I'm going to ask her if she'd be interested in writing a letter as a testimonial. So a couple weeks later, I received the testimonial in writing in the mail. And in it, she said, after that session, I went to my doctors, and I found out that I was in remission from a disease I had. I didn't even know she had a disease. But the work that I did shifted that reality. And
so, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And this is something that I have seen happen over and over again in the work when I was seeing many clients at like Canyon Ranch and Miraval, these holistic-based spas, not just holistic, but holistic and Western medicine combined, using the best of both worlds. I've seen many, many people experience healings of things that doctors said could not be healed. You know,
so
even
Mark, can you connect those dots for us in terms of what goes on and what's happening at a, I mean, I think you started to share already like the unblocking of the, you know, of the movement of energy through the body, but how does that healing actually manifest itself in the elimination or in the dormancy of a particular disease?
Well, like I said earlier, with the highway example of the 405 on the 101, if there was an accident on the side of the road, even if that accident is not blocking the traffic, people's curiosity factor slows them down to see what's going on. So it slows the whole thing down just from nothing is really there stopping them, but the curiosity factor. So part of it is, yeah, there was an accident, and the lane was actually blocked, and that started it, and then it moved away, and that's still not a problem, but this problem still exists. So in the body, when there is a place, let's say you had an injury to your knee, you fell, you sliced your knee open, you went to the hospital and got stitches, and then a couple of years later, you find out that you have some challenges in your ankle and your hip. So there was initially a block in the knee when you fell and then got stitches. And there's scarring in the tissue from where they did the stitches in the knee. And when there's scarring on the body, that's one of the ways that the energy is blocked because it can't get to that scar tissue.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to explain that. So, you know, when we look at the world of functional medicine and integrative holistic medicine, mm-hmm. which is, you know, a tremendous growth and path upward, not just for patients, but for also practitioners that are looking at, moving into this type of an arena versus the conventional approaches. You know, a lot of this looks at the science of healing from a whole person's perspective, their mind, their body, their energy. And, you know, one of the chief criticisms of traditional Western medicine is that little attention is paid to the patient's story, their history, the things that you brought up all throughout the call, beyond just the chief complaint and the history of the present disease. So little about the whole person's story is understood. You've seemed to bring a lot of that up in this call about the importance of it, not just emotional and psychological, but about foods and toxins and lifestyles. So my question is where is the empirical evidence, what scientific experiments do you know of that are now surfacing that are validating a lot of the things that we've known for so long, but we know are now proven to be true?
Great. That's a wonderful question, Rick. When I was working at Canyon Ranch, Canyon Ranch funded a energy medicine department at the University of Arizona, and they also funded part of the School of Medicine. And out of that, Dr. Andy Weil, who's a very famous author in the world of medicine, and he has a program through the University of Arizona of integrative medicine. And as everyone knows, when they go to most doctors, a meeting might be 15 minutes. That's not unusual at all. And with the approach of integrated medicine, they're working together with a team to treat someone body, mind, and spirit. So they might be, if someone comes in with a problem with their knee, maybe they're going to work with an orthopedic surgeon, and maybe they're going to work with a psychologist, and maybe they're going to work with a physical therapist. They're going to bring a team together before they decide to do what to do with this person to look at the person on many levels. And then together that team is going to come up with a plan of how to bring this person back to optimal health and have the issue that they came in for be resolved. That's one example.
Right. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Of how the system is different. You know, and in China, actually, Bill Moyers did a program about medicine in China. And in China, the doctors get paid for the people that they keep healthy. If one of their patients gets sick, they don't get paid for their for that person. So here it's very opposite. If people were well, what's going on in the medical system wouldn't be going on. So it's an approach of how can we keep people healthy rather than people going to the emergency room or getting sick and then dealing with symptoms and not coming to the place of healing the source of the challenge. And Canyon Ranch and the Cleveland Clinic, these are just two places that have medical staff that are basing their work on scientific studies that the holistic and more natural path methods work, and they can also work in conjunction with Western medicine, taking the best of both worlds. Because basically, if you fall down and break your leg, you want to go to a doctor that can set it in place and know how to treat that. That's brilliant. But there's also some things that happen to us that can be healed in a more holistic way that's taking into account all these other aspects of self that might have gone awry to create the injury or the disease.
And you started to talk about successful healing experiences, and you brought up the example of Bill Moyer and Cleveland Clinic and what some of these other institutions are doing. In those examples, the onus was on the medical team or the holistic team. So from the perspective of the patient, what does a successful healing experience, what needs to happen for a successful healing experience from the patient as they contribute to the rest of the team?
That's huge. I feel that the patient needs to take responsibility for their own healing, that they're not dependent on a doctor, a therapist, a healer, a psychologist to heal them, but that they take ownership of the challenge that they're experiencing, and they're on a quest to find out why it's happening and how they can resolve it. And to do that,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And to do that, one has to believe that they have a role in this. Many, many people go to the doctor and they give their power to the doctor. And they're in the doctor's hands and they're letting the doctors make all the decisions. And so maybe a beginning may be going to a few different doctors to get different opinions. Because I've heard people go to one doctor and say, you got 6 months to live. You have cancer and it's over. You might as well go home and wrap up your business. And I also know of people that were told that same story, and 12 years later, they're still alive and thriving. And both are possible.
And what's the key to the latter? So what's the big distinction in what you notice between these two individuals?
That their will to live is very strong, number one. And number two, that they are willing to go on a grand adventure and learn how to live. Because when one is faced with their mortality, suddenly they realize all the ways that they weren't really living, calling them like the walking dead. You know, there was a woman who was worked with Ann Wigmore with the Live Raw Food Program who had cancer, and she healed herself from cancer, and she lived. And she says the cancer was a huge gift because it showed her the ways that she wasn't really living. And the last years of her life, when she woke up to that reality, were the best years of her life. You know, I saw recently a video on YouTube about this guy from Australia that was born with no arms and no legs. And he has this like a foot on something that's not nearly as long as a regular person's leg.
Mm-hmm.
And he was chastised growing up and everything. And he realized that he has this gift of life, that he's happy, that he can be happy. Now this guy goes around the world leading lectures and inspiring people of the things that this guy can do with no arms and legs, people with arms and legs haven't done.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing. So the human spirit is very powerful, very powerful. Carolyn Meese, an author in the book Energy Anatomy, talks about a Native American man who is in a wheelchair and can't move. And the elders of the tribe meet with him because this man is not happy. He's pretty miserable, and he's making everyone around him kind of miserable because it's just his attitude and his energy is just not happy camper. So the elders came around and said, do you want to live? Do you really want to live? And he said, yes. They took him to the pond on the reservation, and they threw him in the water. And he can't swim. He's paraplegic. And they said to him, do you want to live? Do you really want to live? He said, yes. They said, call back your spirit. Call back your spirit. He walked out of the pond. So
wow,
there is
a powerful story. That's a very powerful story. What were you going to say? Go ahead. I'm sorry, Mark.
So there's a place where we have the opportunity to go beyond our limited mind and belief and how we see the world. And we're stretched into things that in this moment someone may not believe or understand. And I can say it's like if you're in a high-rise building in New York City and you're on the 10th floor, you can see a lot of the city. If you're on the 15th floor, you can see a lot more of the city. If you're on the 30th, 40th floor, 100th floor, the vision is much more expanded. So the spiritual path is like that. Then when we increase our consciousness, we have access to a higher vision. Just like in that apartment comp, that high-rise building in New York.
You know, it almost feels like what you're saying, that you know many of us are kind of stuck in the, well, I have to see it to believe it, versus
right.
The other way around, where if I believe it, I could see it. Can you clarify that or fill in the blanks where people might be
sure.
confused about what I just said?
So when we humans, we have the ability to see a range of colors. Basically, the color of the rainbow: red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet. Right? That's what we can see. But there's colors on top of violet that exist. We just can't see them. Ultraviolet. But we know that that's really there because we buy sunglasses to protect ourselves from it, and we put creams on our bodies to protect ourselves from it. And beneath the color red, there's another color, infrared. We can't see that either. But we know that exists because Kodak makes film, infrared photography, and we can see when we shoot with that film, there's stuff on the film. And Sony has a camcorder that has infrared capability, so we can videotape outside at night with no lights and no flash and no lighting, and there's actually something on the movie. So we know that there are colors that exist even though we can't see them. We have a dog. We have a dog whistle. We blow the dog whistle and we cannot hear it, but the dog comes running.
Mm-hmm.
There's sounds that exist that we just can't hear.
Yeah, I mean,
if I
turned a radio on, you know, you don't hear any music in the room right now, but if I were to bring in a radio and tune it to 98.4, all of a sudden, you would hear music in the room. So, you know, the music's, you can't actually hear the music right now unless we bring in a device that actually facilitates the hearing of it.
Exactly. And there, the radio is receiving, it's a radio receiver, it's picking up an FM frequency. And if we walk outside, FM frequencies are hitting our body, just like AM frequencies and microwaves and X-rays and cell phone waves. All of these things, if we walk across the street, it's no wonder we don't fall over from getting hit from all these things, right? But we walk across the street like nothing's happening and nothing's hitting us. So when one is on a spiritual path, they are fine-tuning their radio tuner. Remember in the old days, Marantz had a stereo that you would have had a big dial and you turn the dial and it just slides across the dial. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And then there was a knob next to it, a smaller knob called fine-tuning. So when you dial in smooth jazz radio, you go to the fine-tuning button and there's a needle that you get the very highest quality of reception of that frequency and the music is totally crisp and clear.
Mm.
So I know of a Qigong master that can stick his hands in boiling oil, like a frying oil machine, and not pull his hands out and not get burnt. How does that happen? How do these karate masters break a whole line of bricks or wood and not their hand? There's something else going on that doesn't make any sense. How does a student of a Qigong master or Tai Chi master come, the master holds out his hand, doesn't even touch the person, and the guy goes flying across the room like he got knocked out by in a wrestling match? How does this happen? It does happen. I've seen it. So, but all of these things are like that radio receiver where human beings have the ability through a spiritual path to fine-tune their tuner, their body. So someone can actually feel radiation. Someone can feel electromagnetic fields. Someone can be next to someone and feel in their body a pain in their tailbone. When they don't have a pain in their tailbone, it's the person standing next to them. So we can be like those magnets where we're interacting with the other magnet. We have the ability to tune our bodies into frequencies, to tune them to frequencies and sounds and lights that most people aren't tuned to. They call it a higher vibration, a higher frequency. You know, the body resonates at about 66 megahertz. That's the vibration of a healthy body. Someone with cancer in their body vibrates at a vibrational frequency of around 40 megahertz. Essential oil of rose has the frequency of 320 megahertz. If we take a healthy person and we put a cup of coffee in their hand, coffee vibrates to a lower rate than the healthy human body. It brings the human body's vibration down. They didn't even drink it. They just put it in their hand. If you had essential oil of rose on your body or someone sprayed it in the room and you smelled it, it would raise your body's frequency higher. How does that work practically? If you walk into someone's house and there was just a fight, and you walk in and you're like, ooh, it doesn't feel good here. I can feel the tension. You can cut it with a knife. And no one said anything when you walked into the house, but you could feel it. Everyone's experienced that.
It's funny because the dog always feels it. The dog knows. it's really funny. I've noticed that. The dog can sense, my dog can sense, and he's got a sense of something that I can't see it, I can't hear it, but there's a sense that he gets.
Right. And then you could walk into a room, and you walk in, and everyone's quiet, but you feel this feeling of elation and wonder and excitement and feeling good in your body. And you're like, whoa, I just want to hang out here. It feels good. We've all had both of those kind of experiences. The challenge is when we walk into the place that doesn't feel good with this tension and we don't walk out, that's where the problem begins. We're not listening to the deep emotional sensation in our body. We're overruled them with the mind saying, oh, well, they must have suffered. Or maybe I'm not even feeling this. That's the biggest thing that happens is people ignore the message of their subtle emotions. And that leads into the things like we were talking about before, Crohn's and colitis and stuff like that.
So I noticed a little bit of the unblocking of energy and the things that you were talking about when I went through your healing meditation experience called spring cleaning, which I know that we are going to offer everybody on the call today as a gift for participating. Tell us about the spring cleaning healing meditation.
The spring cleaning healing meditation is an experience where I give people empirical information of someone that I work with that had a specific problem that came to me, and none of the doctors could help this person. And I tell that story, and I explain how this type of healing works, and then I bring someone through a meditation experience where they can feel it for themselves. It's like an appetizer. And people, you asked me earlier, what can someone do? what role can they take when with their doctors? And I talked about taking responsibility. Another very large part of a successful healing is someone's ability to let go.
Mm.
There's many people
that
are
more
sick.
About that.
Sure. There's many people that are sick that if you ask them if they want to get better, they'll say yes. But there's some part of them that doesn't want to get better. And Carolyn Meese did a cassette series called Why We Don't Heal and talks about this. Because, you know, there can be someone, let's say there's a little girl that's paralyzed or something's major wrong with her, and all of her family and her friends take care of her. She's getting waited on and served hand and foot. Because she needs that kind of care. But if she were to heal successfully, part of her would not get this kind of care because she'd be able to give it to herself. And when we get all that kind of attention, one can get dependent on that. So for this girl to heal, she would have to look at her ability to let go of someone taking care of her like that and learning to take care of herself.
So it's not so much about, you know, it's funny, the distinction between there's a difference between taking responsibility and being responsible.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it sounds like what you're talking about is the latter. I mean, there's taking responsibility, which sometimes can be very heady. But, you know, being responsible means that, you know, there's an energy that comes with it. There's a commitment that there's an intention around it. There's all sometimes the things that we necessarily can't see. It's not just about, you know, eating greens,
right.
But it's about it's about a way of being versus a doing.
Exactly.
I think it's an important distinction to make for folks that are listening onto this, because this seems to be a common theme among all of the health heroes, is about, you know, taking responsibility for your health. But, you know, this really opens up about what does it mean to take responsibility versus to be responsible.
Mm. Yes, these changes aren't like, okay, I'm going to take one pill and everything's going to change. The responsible act is making choices in the life that are sustainable and are feeding you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. It becomes a lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. Versus, I'm doing what the doctor told me to do. Now, where's my relief? And that still feels like, well, okay, I'm taking responsibility, but it still feels like the onus of being responsible is in somebody else's hands. And I think it's an important
right.
distinction to make. So I want to really encourage folks that are listening to download this spring cleaning healing meditation experience. I actually went through it before going to bed one evening, and it was really powerful for me. I found myself letting go of some things that I didn't realize that I was holding on to, small things, and it made me realize, think about how many things we actually hold on to that we don't even realize that we're holding on to, but somehow they're it's blocked energy in our body. So it was a very powerful experience for me. I'm really inviting everybody to go ahead and download the self-cleaning healing experience by Mark Nasek. You can actually download it. I'm going to repeat this URL a couple times before we close the call, but the URL is OptimalWellnessHealthHeroes.com/Mark, and Mark is M-A-R-K. Again, that's OptimalWellnessHealthHeroes.com/Mark for the spring cleaning healing and meditation experience. So, Mark, you mentioned earlier about spiritual path is really about fine-tuning. So, you know, I'm not sure that this is a question that you get often, but as a teacher, as a healer, as a shaman, as a mystic, what's next for you? Where are you in your spiritual path?
Where I am is helping people find the tools that empower them to take responsibility, to live responsibly, and to take ownership. It's like the companies that are owned by their employees are much more successful because the employees have a vested interest in the health and wealth of the company.
Mm-hmm.
So we all have that relationship with ourselves. And if we're just like a member of the board with this body and this life, then we're going through the motions. We're not so invested. We might have money in it, but our whole life is not into it. Whereas an employee, it's his job, it's his money, it's his everything. They're going to be much more focused and concerned of how all the details that have nothing to do with them even work. They're interested. Mm-hmm. They have a genuine interest. So when we take that level of interest in self and our well-being, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, and we show the same kind of care for our spouses and our children and our parents, and if we even take that type of care to our neighbors and our families and our employees and our community, then we're healing exponentially. If we see someone that's suffering and we can help them, we can give them something, the gift of being present with someone, that even though they're having a rough time, just comforting them with your presence is healing. We all have the ability to heal. Children innately do. Their presence. You look into a child's eyes and they're not so, they're fresh. They haven't been here so long. They haven't heard so many no's. Their spirit is alive. They're excited. They live in the place of wonder. And when we return to living and feeling like life is wonderful and fascinating and adventurous and it's worth waking up for, and it's a whole, every day is like a miracle that we get to do this and we get to see the sunrise and experience the ocean and other people in our world and just seeing someone smile at us, wow. So we can when we walk down the street and we smile at someone, we're affecting another's being that could last the whole day. When you see someone that's beautiful, that's doing amazing things in the world, that's inspiring you, and you say thank you, and then you do the same to another, we don't know what type of impact that can have on somebody. At a moment where they might have just heard something really awful, that if we didn't say that, they were going to go down, spinning down the rabbit hole into depression. And one smile and one look in their eye and one silly joke can change someone's whole day or someone's whole life. And we all have that power.
And you've actually done that for us today. I want to acknowledge your... you know, it's funny, in my introductory remarks, one of the descriptions was fearless. I want to add that there is a gentle yet powerful sense of fearlessness about you. Because you have a wonderfully gentle style. Your remarks are thoughtful. They come from a place that's much deeper than an immediate thought. I found the conversation incredibly engaging. A lot of really good nuggets of learning that was in this call, and some really dramatic ways that folks who are looking at a whole new what wellness might mean for them, people who are struggling with a unresolved chronic symptom, and you know we've kind of reinvented the definition of stress on this call because there's so many biological factors that that happens with stress. So I want to thank you really just so much for the gift that you brought everybody today.
My pleasure. And in closing, I'd like to share, you talked about being fearless. There's a great film called Fearless with Jeff Bridges that was released in like 96. Yeah. It's an amazing film that's talking about these things that I encourage people to watch. And in the opening of the call, you talked about a shaman that of demystifying, okay, you had a description of what a shaman would look like. And the definition of shaman that I learned, it actually comes from Siberia. And a shaman is someone that, with the use of breathing, can bring someone into another state of consciousness, just like when you go to sleep and you focus on your breath. The moment you're focusing on your breath, really truly being with your breath, your inhalation and exhalation, in that moment, it's impossible to be thinking about the worried thoughts of what's going on at the office. Because if you were thinking about the other thoughts at the office, you would no longer be focusing on your breathing. So just the simple act of bringing your awareness to your breath as you're breathing, watching the inhale and experiencing the exhale, just watching it come out, in and out, just like if you're at the ocean, watching the waves come in and go out, you just observe your breath filling your body. And once it's filled, there's a moment where it's not being filled anymore and it's not releasing because you haven't exhaled yet. And then there's a moment where exhalation happens and you're letting go of the breath. And the moment your body releases all the breath, there's a moment that your body's not breathing in yet, and it's still not breathing out. There's a moment that you're not actually breathing, and then the breath comes in again. So if we all can bring our awareness to our breath before we go to sleep, it's going to relax the body. And when we do that, and we place the tip of the tongue at the roof of the mouth where the teeth and the roof meet, that's an energy point that'll keep your physical, mental, emotional, spiritual bodies open. And you'll notice that your whole body relaxes, your autoimmune system relaxes. Autonomic nervous system. Your autonomic nervous system will let go and relax when you place the tip of the tongue at the roof of the mouth. And when you allow yourself just to drift off into sleep, watching your breath, you'll have a very peaceful sleep. And when you wake up in the morning and you sit someplace with your spine tall, closing your eyes, and again, just being with the breath, breathing in and out through the nose, feeling the belly expand and contract with each breath for 5-10 minutes, and then you start your day, you're going to start your day from the place, not looking out at the 10th story of that high-rise building in New York. Being with your breath in the morning and at night like that is going to give you the vantage, the viewpoint of looking out of like the 50th or 60th floor. Your whole day will be more peaceful. You'll be more serene. You'll feel happier. You'll be healthier. And people will say, what are you doing? You look different. So I invite everyone to start paying close attention to their breath and receive the gift of this life force that awareness will bring you. And Rick, I want to thank you so much for the work that you're doing in the world, bringing these ideas, not just mine, but all the amazing people in the series to the world. I remember Bernie Siegel many, many, many years ago was a huge inspiration to me. Huge inspiration that he was a key person on my path to learn exactly that, how to be still and breathe and put into action his teachings. So I'm honored to be here with him and all these other amazing presenters, and may you be blessed, and may everyone be blessed with health and wellness.
And thank you, Mark. And again, I'm going to encourage everybody to please go to optimalwellnesshealthheroes.com/Mark, and that's M-A-R-K, to download the Spring Cleaning Healing Meditation Experience. That's optimalwellnesshealthheroes.com/Mark. If you forget that, you can also just pull it off the regular Optimal Wellness Health Heroes website and look for Mark Nasek. And it's just been an amazing call, just the gift of energy healing, of stillness, of awareness, of presence, all the great stuff that you brought us. And please join us again, Mark. We'd love to have you come back as a regular in the series.
Thank you so much.
And this is Rick Lugash, and I just want to acknowledge everybody and say thank you for staying with us through the call. We'll see everybody again on the next Health Heroes speaker series, and we'll take care and see everybody soon. Thank you.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.